I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray, till heaven I've found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
John chapter 14, verse 22. We left off talking a little bit about this last week, but I need to catch up with the story. You have to understand chapter 14 and chapter 15 are one continuous conversation. This is not a place where a chapter division should be put. This is one continuous conversation, okay? And in a continuous conversation, we have to get back to it. So here we are. We are in John chapter 14, verse 22. It says this, Judas saith unto him, not the Iscariot. Judas has already left the building. The one who would betray Jesus has left the building. Okay? So now the Lord says, Judas says this, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Folks, when somebody comes to you and argues with you and says, you're cruel. How could you be so dogmatic? How can you dare to say to somebody they can't get to heaven? What makes your way the only way? There's other ways. You know, all roads lead to Rome. Well, folks, all you do is say, this is not what I said. I don't say this. This says this. And then you hear from Jesus himself, I'm not saying what I said. I'm saying what the Father said. So folks, our argument is not with Jesus. Understand, okay? I understand he's part of the Godhead. He's God the Son, and there's God the Father, and there's God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. But we're talking about the one who's never left the throne. Talking about the God the Father, the one who has complete rule, because while Jesus will die on the cross, God never left the throne. While Jesus was being beaten, God never lost his place on the throne. God's always been on the throne. came up with another one. I don't know if I've said it to you. God's on the throne and he never leaves me alone. Okay? God's on the throne, he never leaves me alone. That's a nice one, isn't it? And anybody wants to argue with you, they have to argue with God, because he's the one that's on the throne. And so Jesus says the exact same thing here that we need to hear. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. This is key. Jesus is proclaiming what was settled before the foundation of the world. This is not something new. This was done before there was a word that said, let there be light. This was the plan all along. Let's go on. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet in your presence. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things back to your remembrance. I put him back there. Because guess what you don't do? You don't remember everything. Your mind can't. While you do have the memory, you haven't drawn from that memory. Now, everybody knows my wife had an accident. What she's been drawing out of her memory lately are her Girl Scout songs and her kindergarten songs and everything way back in the past. Because when she had her head jarred, it made that connection. Did you give your oath perfect? Like, you gave your oath to Girl Scouts perfect to me, right?
Mine was perfect.
But I was a Boy Scout. Brave, thrifty, whatever, okay? But the fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit promises that as you learn God's word, he will bring back to remembrance what you need to know. I have been in situations where I just felt I wasn't prepared, wasn't ready, wasn't completely, and then I've gone in real cocky. You know, you ever been real cocky? Oh, I got this. No, you ain't got nothing. Okay? But when you humbly lay before God, help, please. He amazingly brings that help. But as long as we think we're the source of all that we have source to is ourselves. But when we are not the source of all that we need to know comes through the Holy Spirit, because he brings back to remembrance the things you need to know and say. Verses of scripture that you have long stayed away from will come back flooding in and you'll be able to use it. But that's the promise here, because he says the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to remembrance. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Now, remember, in John chapter 1, we read, Jesus came unto his own and what?
His own.
So, in other words, this is a group of people that have received Jesus that get the choice to have this remembrance brought back. It's not given to any others who do not receive Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away. Now, I'm going to go back to that verse because I jumped. I shouldn't. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And that's how much we hear of this verse sometimes. Yep, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. But what's the whole verse? What's the whole statement?
Not
as the world does. You cannot find peace in this world by rejecting the peace that God wants to give you. Because this world is in opposition to everything you know about God. Completely in opposition. All right? And because it's in opposition, the peace that it wants is the peace of let everybody do what everybody wants to do because they're going to do it anyways. Self-indulgent nature, right? I do what I want to do when I want to do it, because nobody can tell me I can't do what I want to do, because when I want to do what I want to do, you can't tell me I can't do it. So shut up if you think you're going to try to tell me I can't do what I want to do, because I'm going to do anything I want to do, and no one's going to stop me. Do you understand? So don't try to tell me I can't do what I want to do. And you go on and on and on and on and on. It's a typical argument. But yet, you never do everything you want to do. Let's take a look at this. How many of you really wanted to stay in bed this morning?
I can't sleep, so why stay in bed?
No. How many wanted to have steak and eggs for breakfast?
Me.
No.
Right?
I never thought of that.
I mean, how many wanted to wake up in a hammock on a beach?
Oh, yes.
Or how many wanted to have a cabin right next to the lake and you woke up in there right out is the water? We can dream of a lot of things, but guess what? You woke up where you woke up.
Yeah,
okay. The peace that God gives you is the peace to know that His presence is with you in your time of trouble. In the time when you think He's left you alone, He's the most closest to you. Because it is in those times, and it is with that Savior, that you're more than a conqueror. You're the one who's living in victory eternally. With Jesus, you are living. You live in victory every day with Jesus. L-I-V-E. Live in victory every day with Jesus. Without Jesus, you're going to live as a victim every day. It's your choice. But with Jesus, you're going to live in victory. Without Jesus, you're going to live as a victim, because that's what Satan makes you, a victim. I got in trouble over at Dartmouth Bible Church. I preached a message. Will you guys wake up and start living in the victory God's already given you? He said that with Him, you overcome the world, and yet we're letting the world overcome us. We're worried about how people feel, and yet the gospel says that it cannot prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against the gospel. That the gospel will break down the gates of hell. But what do we do? Here's what I'm telling you. John chapter 14 and 15 are the marching orders, if you want to say. But it means that you understand who the commander is. Because we go into that in just a little bit. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, and my Father is greater than I. Now, folks, if you would underline, if you love me, okay, underline that, because we're going to see a bunch of times this is said here. If you love me, now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, who's the prince of this world? Satan, the devil, okay? For the prince of this world hath nothing in me. I had a hard time with this. What does it mean? Because the King James is, what does it mean? No, he has no ownership of me. He has nothing. He can't do anything to me, okay? He is completely, so I'm not doing this because he's winning. I'm doing this because I'm winning. Okay? Satan is not in control. But that the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let's go hence. Now they're going to get up and walk. And as I was thinking about John chapter 15 and wondering what it meant, because what does it start off? I am the true vine, and my Father is the true husbandman. I'm thinking, well, they're walking, right? And what are they doing? They're walking down the street. And what do they have? Vines, grapevines, olive trees. Now, what does it mean to be a husbandman? Anybody got an idea? What does it say? Some say caretaker, right? Huh? Farmer? Vine dresser. Does that mean he puts the leaves on? Just joking.
He dresses the vine.
The vineyard manager, I guess.
He's the one in charge of knowing how to keep the vine healthy. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a vine dresser, you listen to the vine dresser. You know, there are a lot of people out in Napa Valley who own vines, but they don't know how to take care of the vines. They own them, but they don't know how to care them. But they have a person who does. Now, Carol's father, for a long time, their parent, they had vines, and I'm talking about a lot of them. They went around the back of the garage, up the side, and it was wonderful because it was the best place to have a picnic. Summertime came, you're underneath the cool breeze, and there's those, and you're just looking up, and you're seeing all those grapes, and you're waiting for them to ripen because you know they're going to be good. Okay? But if a year goes by and the person doesn't clip back, the branches get overgrown and the fruit is less. Not that there's less fruit, they're just the fruit's left, where you would have a nice, round, big, juicy grape, it'll be half the size. Because the vine only takes up the amount of juice, the amount of water it can to feed all that it has. You can't overstress a vine, because if you overstress the vine, it dies. But Jesus says, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. So Jesus is using an object lesson that's right in front of these guys. It's hard for us because we don't use object lessons like this. We really don't. Because if you have never been into a place where there is a vine and seen how it works, you're lost. You know, there was a nice movie that we used to watch. The genre was a good one. It was about a guy dedicated, and he met this girl, and he went out, and he was in military, and he helped them, and so on and so forth. And there was a big old fire, and everything got burnt. Except this kid goes out, and he finds the one place where the fire didn't totally burn through, and he dug up the root of the vine, and he brought it back to the owner, and he took his knife, and he dug in, and he looked, and he smelt the roots, and he knew it was still alive, and put it in water, and the whole vine returned. It's funny. You ever had a good baked potato? It tasted really good. If you could find the sister baked potato to that baked potato that you cooked, because you killed it, okay, and you cut it up in fours, and it came from the same vine, you will now produce potatoes that will taste exactly like that. Because that's how a potato works. If you want potatoes to look like they do, how did I know this? I stupidly went to Discovery Channel and I watched how to pick potatoes. How they pick potatoes. And out in Iowa, where they have a lot of good potatoes, they teach you that when you find a potato that tastes good, you get the sister potatoes to make more potatoes. Because they're from the same root system that made the exact same sweet. So folks, here's how I want you to understand. The vine that we have is Jesus, and we are the branches in that Jesus. And when we're in that Jesus, our fruit is sweet. When we're not in that Jesus, we're still producing fruit, but our fruit is the sourness of Satan. Do you understand? There's only two vines you can be part of. You're either part of Jesus or you're part of the world system, which is the prince and power of this air. There's no two ways about it. So here I am. I'm the vine. My father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Do you see the story here? The idea is to abide. The branches are pruned back, right? Because the branch has to continue to grow. The branch gets pruned back just a little bit. But yet, sometimes that little bit means that the guy actually looks at the branch. He sees it's too wide. And so we'll cut back. because he wants that branch to be supple, because he wants as much of the water and nutrients that are coming up out of the ground to feed that branch or to make that branch fruitful. Now, you prune it. What does it mean, prune? Huh? Trim back. Why do you do that? What's the purpose? How? What is the biggest thing that hurts a vine? Stress. They get stressed. Okay? Because it's trying to do too much with the little bit it has. Do you feel like you feel like that's what you are? You feel like you're trying to do too much with the little bit you have? It's because you are not pruning yourself back sometimes. You're not taking the time to say, that's not my problem. I need to be pruned back. All right? There are times when I'm doing way too much. If there's anything you can learn, learn this. Don't ever tell somebody that, well, I'm going to go be with my family so I can't come. No, that's not an excuse, all right? Because you probably might have something to do with the family, but you're saying something, in that case, oh man, you can do that later. Come on, I really need your help. You hurt people, right? They're trying to get you away from family. Don't ever say that. Say this. I'm going to give you a way to get out. Oh, I have an appointment that I have to keep, and I'm sorry, I can't be there. I have an appointment. I was taught in seminary the best way to keep people off your family and you in your family is to make their time an appointment just as much as anybody else's an appointment. If they're not part of what you do and just an add-on that you can break away from. Now, this is what Jesus is saying here. Don't make me just an add-on. I am your vine. You are my branch. You abide in me, because if you don't, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you back, throw you on the ground, you're going to dry up, you're going to be firewood. Okay? Unfortunately, that is. We'll go on, what verse did I stop at? Verse 6, okay? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it will be done for you, or unto you. All right, I guess I gotta talk about this one, right? Because don't think this is a credit card where you just get to put anything you want on it. The key to this verse is if you abide in me, you ask whatever you will. But your will is in God, and you'll know the right thing to ask for. God is not going to give you something that Satan wants you to have. God's not going to give you the right to sin or to have something that you will consume on your own lust. All right? You heard the new one I got, right? Leaves us Satan's treasure. Lust will leave us Satan's treasure. All right? It's not that love's unholy, sadistic twin. It's not that. Lust leaves us Satan's treasure. That's why it's one thing to be tempted. It's another thing to let that temptation become your lust. Because all you do is become the trophy, if you want to use trophy, of Satan. I got stacked to do that. Let me tell you. It's so cool. Look how defeated he is. And there sits my Father in heaven, my Savior at his right hand. And Satan comes with the accusation, did you see what Pastor Bill did? And he's supposed to preach Sunday. What a jerk he is. He's right. That's probably the most honest thing he said up there. Okay? And then I have a Savior that looks over and says, yes, Father, I know. I died for that. But I'll have him clean by Sunday and he'll have ready to go. If you think that I am not tempted and fail, you've got a wrong idea of what it means to be a pastor. I'm just one of the fellow branches. I'm just telling you how my Savior has treated me and how he's going to treat you. And if you and I want to know what it means to grow, then we learn from each other. The branches have to learn from each other. That's why we call it fellowship. The toughest part about it is that Satan uses distraction to get us away from fellowship. It's amazing how when you work in a factory and you really pay attention to your job, all of a sudden all that background noise in the factory goes away. I have been in a control room where it is going crazy. We've got six guys working, trying to get shows online, trying to do this, trying to do that. And here you are paying attention to what you've got, and everything that's going around you completely loses its strength. This young man works in a call center for Cox. And I'm sure that there comes a time when all the noise around, and we're hearing it as they're talking, but yet he is so keyed in on what to do that that noise behind him, that background noise, is gone. Not that it's gone. It's just not noticeable. Satan's trying to get you and I to notice the background noise, to get us drawn away. It says in verse 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." If you see the part where it says, if you ask anything in my will, in my name, you'll have it, because you're in God's will. And so the godly request will be, I want more brothers and sisters. I want more family. I want more faith. I want more joy. I want more work. No, Lord, I mean, I'd like to, no. God doesn't play games. Now, I find it interesting that in our society today of such freedom, the commitment to be in a worship service someplace has lost its drive. Carol and I grew up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Saturday morning soul winning. That's what we grew up on. The most exciting time we had was when we were down in Fort Lauderdale. At least I had it. I was excited. Here's a small little church. I think it was 20,000 people. 7,000. 7,000 people. Small little get-together. And every Saturday they had men's prayer breakfast. Every Saturday, not just once a month. Every Saturday was a man's prayer breakfast. And out of the 7,000 people, they had a few really good cooks. These guys would show up at 2:00 in the morning and start producing the meal that was going to be served at 5:00 in the morning, that we got to eat till 7:00 in the morning, that when we moved from the eating, we went to prayer till 9:00 in the morning. And then at 9:00 in the morning, we went out to visit the neighborhoods that we drive through. Now, you figure how many people are going to get up at 5:00 in the morning for breakfast? How many people are going to show up at 8:00 in the morning or at 7:00 in the morning to do prayer till 9:00 and then go out and do, you know, not too many, right? We had 700 men every single Saturday going out. And that's not counting the women, it was men. What would that happen today? How about today? Who would we have showing up? And to think that the guys were the only ones doing it, the ladies had theirs during the week. They had their other meetings, they had things going. So that's why they had 3 services a Sunday. They had a 7,000 membership church, but they met in a congregation in a place that served, I think it was 5,000 seats in the auditorium, and they filled it 3 times a day. Dr. Ackerman was a great gift for the 6 months I got to be with him. This is my commandment, verse 12. You guys read it, right? Do we understand what it means to love one another? Loving one another is not allowing one another to get away with sin. Loving one another has the idea that I love you enough to tell you you're doing wrong. Pastor, I think that was not a smart thing to do. And if you and I are in that kind of love relationship, the freedom to do that comes from the blessing of knowing others are watching out for me, because I want to watch out for you. I am not perfect. I am not sinless. I'm just not sinful. I am not a sinner, a self-indulgent nature, never exercising righteousness. I am one who sins. I sin because the first time I think I'm without sin, I just screwed up. Now I'm with sin. Because in 1 John it tells me, anyone that says he's without sin, he's a liar. And that's a liar. A person who stands up and says, I've overcome sin, you got to follow me, I know what I'm doing, I'm there, all right? I have overcome it all. I'm holy! No, you're whole. You're whole. You've got nothing in you. You've got nothing for me. I am no different than you. I still need my Savior to work in me. I need him to work through me. So there's only one way to do that, and that's to make sure I'm in him and he's in me. I have to be his as much as he has to be mine. And so do I love him? That's a good question. Because the love I have for him will be the love I have for others. If I don't love him, I have become nothing more than a tinkling cymbal, a sounding brass. Everybody loves 1 Corinthians 13. But understand, 1 Corinthians 13 is in the midst of a whole book about a church that's lost its first love. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Oh, that's so hard, isn't it? You're my friends only if you do what I command. Now think about this. Jesus commands you to stay away from sin, right? So if I did what he did, boy, I'd have a lot of peace. But because I do what I want to do when I want to do it, and that's what I do because I do it. Did you get that? I do it. The truth is, folks, we need scriptural toilet paper all the time. That's going to be a good one going out on the airways, huh? I need to be wiped clean every single day by the love of a Savior that's up there fighting me, fighting for me, because he's fighting against those who so much want to destroy me, because if they can destroy me, they're going to destroy you. And I have to understand that I am in a position to help you stay strong. So if I'm going to be in Jesus, that means that I can help you be in Jesus. Because you can't be looking at me as if I'm the reason for you being saved. I'm not. The reason you're saved is because you trust the same Savior I trust. And if you don't trust that Savior, you're heading to hell. And if I don't trust that Savior, I'm heading to hell. And we're going to cook forever. That's the tough part. Hell's real. Hell's as real as heaven's real. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth or does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Isn't that cool? Jesus doesn't have secrets. Well, what else would Jesus... I don't know. Have you asked them? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And what? What's the next word? Ordained. Ordained. You know what that means? We call a little thing that I go through ordination. It's a stamp of approval by the people around that God's called me into ministry. Jesus has called you into love. That's what he's ordained. I have ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. The United States is going to reach one of the lowest birth rates in its history very shortly. Because people are deciding, why should I bring a child into this world as bad as this world is? And that's Satan's tool to get rid of the one group of people. We also have lost our status. We are not the most mission-minded country any longer. Other countries are now taking over this. You know what these countries are? called Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay. Every place we've sent missionaries, now they're sending missionaries up here to minister to us because we've lost our way in the United States. We have made going to church, you bunch of losers, you weak individuals. I don't know. Is it really weak to say, is it really weak that no matter what anybody else tells you to do, you do it? Or is it weakness to say, let me think about that. I gotta think about this one. Okay? And so, you're his friend. He tells you what to do. Yet, I mean, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask, whatsoever you shall ask in my Father, ask my Father in my name, he may give it to you. I said this a long time ago to a bunch of people. A tree never eats its own fruit. It's always someone else eating its fruit. So your fruit always should be making someone else healthy because they're going to make someone else healthy, because they're going to make someone else happy. If all you do and I do is for me, it's a vine that produces no fruit. So when you go walking down the street and you know you see that person, you wonder, should I tell them about Jesus? Who do you think told you to go tell somebody about Jesus? It sure wasn't Satan. But Satan will come along after you're told, oh, they probably wouldn't like to hear it. I know a lady in our group that gets herself in trouble a lot because she decides to hand out Bibles to teenagers. She opens her mouth, and guess what she then does? Hey, Pastor Bill, this is Ryan or Debbie or Judy or whatever. She's calling me up. Would you have prayer with the kids right now? I love it. Is any of that fruit come off the vine right now? No, it's still growing. It's still producing. One of these days, the bunch of fruit will come together. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it'll happen. It might be with me and it might be without me. But we are a testimony of ongoing fruit makers. So, I hate to tell you this. Please forgive me. But you're all a bunch of fruits. Okay? I want you to now become a branch to develop some more fruit. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love, what? His own. See how the world is Satan's footstool? I should say it's God's footstool, but it's Satan's domain. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So folks, Judy, understand this. It's just Satan trying to bring you down. Glorify Jesus by saying, oh, this is so cool. They think I'm so smart. Remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. Remember we talked about that. We talked about that a little earlier. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they would have kept yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. I remember telling you while we were still back up at the church that Jesus is the reason for everything right and wrong. Jesus is the reason, because Jesus brings about the truth of Jesus Christ, because the truth of God, because of who he is, but Satan's trying to destroy that truth. He wants to destroy it because of Jesus, because he knows that at the cross everyone got saved, but at the cross his future was sealed, and he's trying to keep you away from the salvation of the cross. You got me? So Jesus is the reason for everything. Because if it wasn't for Jesus bringing it all into being, he would not have been able, and the sin that was committed, he would not be the source of redemption for all things. So Jesus is the reason. Verse 21, right? But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. The idea, folks, is the cloak was the tent that you got protection under, okay? There's no more protection. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Do you understand that there's no other way to heaven? Jesus is it. There's no other way. There's not another religion that's going to get there because they hate Jesus. If you don't believe me, you take a look at Mormons. Mormons make Jesus and Satan brothers. Okay? Muslims make Jesus a good prophet, but not a savior. He could never have done nothing. Everybody diminishes Jesus. You cannot diminish Jesus and be saved. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, I want to go back. You will see this. But when the Comforter comes, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit is not the object of worship. He is the one that leads you to the object of worship, Jesus. The Spirit works within me to will and to do his, Jesus' good pleasure. Without the Spirit living in me, I have no power to do anything. So folks, when people start to raise the Holy Spirit, who is still God, don't get me wrong, but the Spirit is here to bring what Jesus did to light, not what he's doing to light. You understand? Because what's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5:22. Okay? Let's go. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That word, against such there is no law, actually means there's no law, okay? There's no law that could stop it from being used. Everybody wants love, right? Do you want hate? No, you don't hate. You want love, right? And yet, what do we got? We got people telling us that we can't share the love of Jesus. That this that I just read today is irrelevant to the world system. You know, the Senate opens up every day with prayer. You know that, right? Do you know how many people are in the seats for that prayer?
Not many.
The poor pastor that's hired by the Senate stands up to an empty room.
It's not empty.
The country is this way.
And we wonder why our country is in the state it's in.
The room's not empty.
No, I understand that, but you understand, there are no heart thumpers sitting in the seat. There's only one standing up. Isn't that a shame? And yet, if the Senate would be filled, I wonder how many other churches would be filled. Because we are what we have leadership of, right? And so, I'm going to tell you this. If you want change, then start putting Christians back in office.
Amen.
Start putting people that love the God of glory, not the Uh-huh.
As teachers, too.
Bring prayer back in school, yes.
I got into an argument with somebody, and my daughter told me, leave that guy alone. All he is is troublemaker. Okay? And the guy ended, hey, Bill, you know, don't worry about this. I'm only trying to bust your, and he used the word for trying to bust your, I said, that's all right. I've been kicked there, but it doesn't hurt anymore. Meaning, you're trying to get on my case with Jesus. I got news for you, Jonathan. I still love the Lord. I know who he is. Now, I know that, that's something I shouldn't have talked about. My wife's giving me that look. But the truth of the matter is that you and I are being attacked by the people that sit right next to us. Remember, and this is what I'm ending with. Remember, there was a Judas amongst the 12. But this was not preached until Judas had left. Because Judas would not understand this. And second of all, he'd use it against Jesus if he had. Because it says, I was with you. I was there. Yeah, you were there, but everything you did was for yourself, not for the others around you. So, Father, your word is truth because your word is Jesus. And he is the truth that gives us life. And so, Father, it's with that and in his name alone that we come before you and ask that you help us to learn what it means to love others. Father, love's an interesting thing because in Hebrews it tells us that if we're without chastisement, then we're outside your love because we're outside of your family. And so, Father, may we know when it is time to speak up to those that we love about the truth that they're doing wrong, as well as, Father, to love them with compassion when they're sore and hurting. May we never be brutal in our love, but, Father, may we be biblical. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, to serve you as the only true God and your Son as our Savior. We ask it in his name. Amen.